parish. Parish is a type of a bug, a bed bug, something like that.
Where are you in the
show? Oh, yes.
Siftes. Hanikra Bargois, Beloshan Arov, it's called Bargois in Arabic. Asulatsaydai, you can't catch it. It's not the Rishab Mimina Nitzayt, but it's also the Rabbanon. Elim Kain, who albasoroi v'oiksoi. If it's on your skin and it's biting you, so Chazal said you're allowed to catch it, to get it off. Okay. So in other words, since it's only the Issa Darbanon, in a situation of tsar, they're mekel. The Shabur says, we'll see in the Shabur, if you could flick it off without catching it, it's better. But Vasilahargan, you can't kill it. Apparently, there was, like, they would, like, roll it around. They wouldn't kill it, but, like, roll it around a little bit under your hands. And that would sort of, like, make it a little bit weaker. It wouldn't have the same strength to come attack you again. So you can't do that because you might kill it. Shemir again, you might kill it. You take it with your hands, and bees are cutting, you throw it off. Avakina, but allows, is mutalaharga, you're allowed to kill it. We'll see, Mr. Burrow, what's that all about? I'm a foul of a god of a person who's picking off the lice from his clothing. That was called being a foul of them. Mikinim, from kinim. So, look, is that situation, lo yahargim, you shouldn't kill them. Mishnah Berurah says, no, you just told me you're allowed to kill a kinim, because sometimes the parushim used to get mixed in with the kinim. We're afraid if he's going to start killing a kinim, he might kill a parush also. What you should do, what you could do in that situation, is you can rub them around in your hands, which that weakens them, and then throw them away so they won't come back. Otherwise, they fly back. But a person is taking kinim lice out of his hair, parushim don't usually end up in a person's hair, so we can assume it's a kinah, and therefore he's allowed to kill them. Okay.
So these are similar types of bugs, then.
You know what?
You know, the Rebbe doesn't ask these questions, Rebbe.
I have no idea.
Rebbe's an Amar Hartz. Just kidding.
You got it?
No, he's hygienic. Hygienic.
Right.
Mr. Rusev Kutnaman Heng, a nicker barger, Hanoa Shkorak, if that's a black one and it jumps, it's a little like a flea, maybe. I don't know. Also, let's say that. Daft, Hudar, Shayna, Bimina, Nitzit, even though it's something which you don't normally, you don't catch it for the purpose of using it, that's not normal for it, so therefore it's not called Bimina, Nitzit. Akuponim, Osimir, Abonin, it's Osimir, Abonin, Mechanabasiv, Gimel, like we had before. Now, the reason why he's stressing that it's also Lutzoidai is Afukim Midas Ezim in Apoiskim. The Shulchan Aruch is coming to indicate that he's not holding the opinion of these Poiskim, the Savri. The Avzoi Hibaklal Machalis Shemutu Lutzuda Ulaharga. Now, this thing called the Bargus is also goes under the heading of a louse, and which you're allowed to capture and kill. So Shulchan Aruch says, no, the heels, the Bargus is Asur. It's dark, you can't tell if it's a kino or a parish. So what do you do? Mutzul lutsoido, lutsudo, you're allowed to catch it. But also laharga, you can't kill it. Catching it, at worst, you're going to have a malacha shenetzich legufa, because you're not catching it to use it. But on the killing, the Shaarei Tzion says, I'm sorry, when you're dealing with, either way it's a malach shenetzich legufa, but when you're dealing with catching it, whether you hold it in a tzich legufa or not, it's ebim nitzit, so it's clearly a drabonah. Whereas you're dealing with killing it, you're doing a malacha, which is potentially a malacha deraisa. The only reason why it's mutter is because then it's yichlagufa. And it's yichlagufa alone, generally we don't like to be make a lot. We spoke about this once, because it's an action which is totally the exact same action as a tzurich gufo, just your intent defines it. Right. So that, we don't want to make it on that. Therefore, you can catch it, but you shouldn't kill it. What do the followers of begotten make me a parushim b'shabbos? You're allowed to pick out the parushim from the clothing. If you pick it off, at that moment you've caught it. So don't pick it off and throw it away, but rather like flick it off with you. But so that's, there's no moment that you've caught it. That if you flick it off. Okay. Elaim Kane. It's also to catch it unless it's biting you. Hainu Lamazayan. Mishul the Tsara Dakitsa, that is because of the pain of the bite. Lagaz Rabbanan al Isut Seder, because Chazal took away the Isut Seder, the Rabbanan that they have over here, because of the pain involved. Therefore, Mutzu Latsudai, you got to catch it, Lashnikon, throw it away. That's why the Shulchan Aruch uses the lashon of oiksay. Magen Avraham Chayin Kosav Agrua. The high oiksay is dafkahu. It's only mutter once it's biting. Okay.
Is it dafka in the case of the hashlicho? Because then you're doing a tzeda, and then after you do tzeda, you're getting rid of it. So like tzeda, you're not keeping it as permanent.
Well, obviously, if a person would do tzeda to keep it and use it, so that'd be a problem. That'd be the rice, it wouldn't be mutter.
Well, but if you do is trap it to leave it, keep it trapped away so that it can't get out of there.
Wouldn't make a difference. That'd be mutter. So let's say a person, you have a situation where a mosquito was biting the person and he wants to see if you can't kill it, but you catch it. Pull it away. It's hard to do practically. It's very hard to pull the mosquito away without killing it.
And so, but if you were to trap it, a mosquito, or let's say any bug for that matter, if you were to trap it for only a short period just to get rid of it, because certain bugs...
Right, doesn't. So the fact that short or long, the seda would be usher. The only have to hear is because of a kitzah now. Now, so according to this opinion, you need a kitzah mamish, it wouldn't be mutter. It's not a practical case. If it's already on inside of his clothing, he hasn't bit him yet, so they're making it ready to catch it then, prophylactically. Okay. Shabur says in that situation, if you can do it by just knocking it down, definitely you should not be makel and rely on that opinion if you have another option. So at the Shartzian in Samach Gimel, it brings it to Machlokes. It seems to be that it's correct to be machmer, but you can't stop somebody who's being makel. He has what to rely on.
How do we know the bifnim here is referring to inside his clothing, not to inside of a house or something like that?
It says al chaluka mi bifnim. Chaluka is a long garment, lamed ches. So it says also lahargay. Now we said by the kinnah you're allowed to kill it. So why by the parash may you not kill it? Why by the kinnah you may yes kill it? The logic behind the differentiation between the two of them. The whole malachas, the Shabbos, Mishkan Yafina, the malachas are learned from Mishkan. Pina Mises Kobalikayim, Lechiv, Mishkitas Elame, Odomim, Shoyb, Mishkan, Mishila, Urisayan. So the malacha of Shkit, of killing animals, was all derived from the case of Shkit, of killing the Elim, Odomim, which is the rams, which you would take their skins and make it, dye their skins red and use them in the Mishkan. So they had to kill these animals. Well, it's not limited to shechita, to within hitting it, strangling it, There's no blood coming out in that situation, but you killed it. By nechira is like ripping out the esophagus. One shot in nechira, another shot in nechira is like cutting slitting down the throat downwards as opposed to across. Chalkiga, I don't care how you kill it. Kima shabal, he had ate his head until Sashama is chayv. Killing it is going to be chayv.
Why even command all that? I don't understand.
What?
I don't understand why do we need to even command any of the different methods.
Because the malacha is not limited to afka tashita.
Oh,
so therefore killing a bug is also going to be chayv. If the malacha is shchita, you didn't shecht it.
It's until the Sashama fire.
Right. Even though the example in the Mishkan was Shkita, it wasn't until Sashama. So we're going to separate the act, the Isser from the action. Now, Rabbeinu, the Gemara says further. This is Gemara. Ma'elim ma'odamim shaparim
beravim. Shkita is until Sashama.
Shkita means to shech something, with cut up the knife. It happens to be that you killed, you take out the Neshama. The point is, we're saying that we're taking out from the act of shechita, the prohibition is not the act of cutting it, the prohibition is the act of killing it. Okay, so we learn out, they say like this, the Torah gave us an example of the chiyah from these elim, these rams, sheparim berovim, they cohabit and have children. Of course, sheparim berovim has to come from eggs. The fukei kina the ena bar mizachar in a keva. The kina does not come from mizachar in a keva. El bar min is a grows spontaneous generation from the sweat in the person. The chashiba berya is not considered a berya. Well, let me finish, Mr. Brewer, for you. We'll talk about this. Okay, abu parish abu bishagami ena parva rovo. It also doesn't do that. Because malkam kemeshava yosam mina offer, it grows out of the ground. Yes, b'chiyus kiilu nivra mizachar in a keva. It has the same level of b'chiyus as a zachar in a keva. B'chayv alem mishum nishil sashama. Filim ha-parish oksoy osu lahargu. Therefore, even if it's biting you, you can't kill it. Now, the problem which you got over here is nowadays science tells you that a kina does come from a zachar in a keva. So, why do we? How do we deal with that halachically, and then how you deal with that hashkafically? So there are two approaches in halacha. There's more than two approaches, but there are two basic approaches in the halacha gasp. Either they say that one approach is a chumrah, that we say bizman azeb, we have a different type of kina than the kina which we're looking at is not the kina that we're talking about, and that kina which we're talking about was bought from Zaya, and what we're seeing now is something else. So the halacha said we couldn't kill the kina nowadays, because the heter is on the kinnah of Chazal, not on this kinnah. Or, alternatively, the approach which some are kind of used is that the Torah is given to a human being to function based on the way his senses perceive something. So if when I look at it, what I see is something which comes that doesn't come out of eggs, because the eggs are so minuscule, and the places where it places them, it looks like it's developing spontaneously. So as far as I'm concerned, that halacha, that's not called, it came from eggs, it was from a cave. It came from, it developed differently than an aisle, etc., which is, you can see it. Even though we know it, you find that in halacha, that's a fairish in halacha, that something's not nearly an ayim, is not called the mushroom when it comes to the issue of eating bugs. I mean, we'd have a tremendous problem. I mean, there's all of our food has microscopic organisms which are walking all over it. They don't chew their cud, they don't split hooves. Right? So why are you allowed to eat them? The answer is because you can't see them. So they're not nearly nine, there's no issur. What is said, yes, in halacha, let's say a situation where I can see it, but I can't necessarily tell that it's alive. I see a little black fleck. I can notice the fleck, I can't tell that. Without a microscope, I can't tell. Without a magnifying glass, I can't tell that it has wings and it has legs. But I can notice the speck. So that's already the point I'm saying. If I can notice the speck, that's called I see it. The fact that I need a magnifying glass to tell that what it is, that doesn't take away from that. It's called nearly an eye. If it's not visible, in halacha, that's not called it. We deal with it as if it doesn't exist. So we deal with it as if this came, whether there was eggs, that's irrelevant. We deal with it as if it came from, just grew out of the skin, because we don't say anything else. And that's the second approach to this issue, which is a very important approach. The Rashi has this, you know, discusses this idea in a few places, that the Torah, since the Torah was given to people, they didn't walk around. Aruch HaShulchan says it in regards to, let's say, the square tefillin. The law it won't have to be square. How square is square? Well, nowadays you can walk around with the calibrations and you can get it down to, you know, within a third of a millimeter. You know, it's not. You can tell with your calibration. You can test it. But that's not what the Chazal meant. The Torah meant, because obviously they weren't able to do that. As he says, if it looks square to people, it's called square. That's the definition of square. How square is square? Well, it looks square. It's square. Right, we discussed this already before. It looks like something. That's what it is. You know. So here's another example you have that idea.
And just on this point,
that's a bit cooler. We're being makel on Isra D'Raisa. We see a skill on this.
So this point here, when we say, I mean, like there's not the point of whether or not you're allowed to kill it is dependent upon that it only comes from the Zeya.
Right.
And so, I mean, bringing the two together, shkafically, it seems that the only way to look at this is to look at it, that's how it was near Beinav, and like their eyes, that's how they perceived it to be.
Right.
So then we would say, based on that, if we were to look at it hashkafically that way, then we would say that since it still appears that way today, then we would be makel with Kina. I agree, but I'm saying
leave out hashkafa.
But I'm saying that seems to be the only way we could look at it.
No, either there was a min which came from Zeya, and once upon a time we don't have it anymore. So as far as we know, all things come from Zachar Nekeva.
Right.
And there was such a thing which came from Zeya, once upon a time. We don't know what it is. So our kin is a totally different thing. And it would be usher to kill our kin. Or the kin which we have nowadays is that kin. And are you asking me that they can tell you that it's not like that? Yeah. With a magnifying glass, you can see that it's not like that. But that's not relevant in a law.
Because we would say that it's just relevant to how it appears.
Right.
Okay.
So if we have a halakha predicated on some sort of knowledge, and we find out it's no longer, for whatever reason or another, that fact that we thought was a fact is found not to be, does that take away the original halakha? I mean, the original...
It's very scary to do that. I mean, dealing with someone who's a good parish of Gomorrah.
I'm saying in general. If
I come along, there's a tshuva that, you know, the scientist told Moshe Feinstein X and the free Paskin X, and we find out 6 years later that really Y, yeah, the psak would change. Right? Because that was clear what it was predicated on, you know. But when the more Paskin something says this is a fact, this is a halachic fact, they come along and say, well, the more didn't really know the real right science, and now we know, they got it wrong. That's a very dangerous area to go.
In a case where we're not dealing with, I don't know what else it would be if it wasn't science, but I don't know. That would be
the point is, if the Gemara this is the issue with the Anisakis, you know, the Anisakis worm right now. The Gemara says clearly, if you find it in the flesh we say that that's where it grew, and it's mutter. That's where it grew. I don't care if the eggs were laid there and it grew out of that, but the tiloyim and the flesh of the fish are mutter. That's a farish gemara, and it's pasan shulchan aruch.
What's any sack?
It's a worm. So they're saying nowadays, but the worms which you find in the flesh, even though the more so you find in the flesh is mutter, but they burrow it in from the out. If you find it in the stomachs, the more so it's also because it came from the outside. And the Isser is only the Isser of Sheretz is only a Sheretz was a Sheretz ala Oretz or ala in the Mayim. This wasn't in the Mayim ever. Its whole life cycle was inside of the flesh of the fish. So it's never called it in the Mayim. But if it came in the stomach, it came from outside. It was in the Mayim once upon a time. So it's also. Well, they're saying nowadays that it goes into the stomach, that it burrows through the stomach into the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So it came from outside. It should be Isser. So, is that also a mutter? Well, they said they can document that they can document. They've seen it move. They've seen it migrate. Right. So is that also a mutter? So that's a big machlokes. Right. That's. So Rav Moshe was asked this shaila based 30 some years ago based on the signs without having seen it. You know, Rav Moshe based on the signs is not going to answer it. Rav Moshe says it's mutter. Mm-hmm. And most poskim at that time all said that it was mutter. What changed nowadays is some poskim say which we actually have documented and they actually have seen the thing move. Or what they've seen actually, not they haven't seen the thing move, they've seen the thing half in the stomach and half in the flesh. So, theory being, we've seen it in the stomach, we've seen it in the flesh, we've seen it now burrowed in. So then the question is, so now what? So is the Gemara was wrong? You know, so the poskim would say, it's mutter, say, listen, okay, so you're going to tell me that nowadays it's a new metzias, which in the time, it wasn't around the time of the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Because how can the Gemara tell you it's mutter if it's in the flesh? It maybe came from the outside. If there were some worms which grew in the flesh and some worms which grew came from outside, I couldn't eat it to suffer because of the raisin. Right? So apparently, so you tell me, the more didn't know that such a thing exists, that's not good. The more tell me that you make all the suffix of the raisin, it's not good. So what's the more telling me? That it didn't come from the outside. We have a right to assume that. But now you tell me that it does come from the outside. So, well, now things have changed. That's one. So now it's a different scene. Okay, it's a possibility. Or, the more so, when I found that I didn't see any evidence that I see such a movement. I'm okay to ask that question. Okay. Which is along the same lines as over here.
Right.
So that's the argument. That, you know, in a 3-minute nutshell, that's the argument out there. And that argument is a major argument. You know.
Interesting. Okay.
So, okay, Lama Tess. Lo Yimelenu. You shouldn't rub them around, which weakens them, which prevents them. Therefore, they won't jump back on top of him. So he said, you shouldn't do that because you might kill them. Okay, mutter. Wherever you find it, you're allowed to kill it. But mefala begodav, no laharga, mutter laharga, fine. Laharga, atam ken is galil like we said before. Over moshim shaviyosim in a glolim, in a perish of ishu b'kiyetz behem. They grow in the garbage. Ken tiloim shabaser, the worms that develop in the meat over there. Mefalim shabasech kitnius inside of the beans. Haharga potter. So you're going to have the same issue over here. That they develop over there, and therefore you're potter. Vasimid Rabbanan, but it is Vasimid Rabbanan. Rav Moshe saying Par Barabim is Achim in the cave. Those which grow out of regular eggs, Ashaviyasim in the offer to my Perushim Hargan Chay, where they grow out of the dirt directly. That's Chay. That's Rambam. Davka Tuloy Vadavka Tuloyim Shenitzava Mina Peiris Achar Shenitlishu. This halacha that it's interesting, he puts the two together, we'll see in a second, which is a big kiddush. This halacha, the Rambam said, your potter, the ones who develop after you already have cut the peri, the fruit off of the tree. They grow in the fruits while they're still attached to the tree. You cannot kill them. Why not? The Mikri Sheretz Gomer. Okay, cost him a gun. Roman Fimashabiru, a primogodum, a beer loch, a berarti, the patur, may paris, slushim, dafka, kashinisabu, akashinisabshu. So the Mugan of Rum comes along and says they're considered a Sheretz Gomer. Now, what's the Sheretz Gomer thing? The Mor says that the Sheretz also, you find there's a loch of that if it wasn't sure it's alo oritz, so then it is wasn't. If it wasn't sure it's alo oritz, then when there's a din of sheretz ala mayim, it has to be. The pasuk says the sheretz which is in the mayim, it also says the sheretz alo oritz. So the sheretz was not on the oritz is mutadit. So, but if it grows on the trees which are attached to the ground, it's called the sheretz alo oritz because it was. In this item, which is ground, because it's attached to the ground. So, once you tell me it's considered sheretz al-oritz, That's called sheretz gomer. It's called a full-fledged sheretz. So we're saying if the Torah called it a full-fledged sheretz, the gabbi, the serum of Achila, etc. So we're not considering it like it's like, you know, part of the flesh of the item, etc. It's its own entity, etc. So that gives another of a chashiva as an issur to kill it. So we're moving from the issur of sheretz to the halach of Hilul Shabbos to the issur to kill it. And that's the chiddush of the Magen Avraham. We're tying. He finds a connection between these two points, which we don't necessarily obviously see a connection. It's not an obvious connection between those two points. So that's what he gives you. This long bir halacha over here.
So basically, if it doesn't grow in one or the other, we don't call it a sheretz, and we don't call it that it's something that's an issur d'oraisa to kill on Shabbos. And that is that. Is that
that's what the Magen Avraham was in Mechadesh, right?
Okay. Well, okay. So why is that? Why would that be so?
You know what? I'm going to give a guess. I'm not going to tell you. I know that I did not look up this Magen Avraham now. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Okay.
So I would not want to tell you anything definitive. But my guess is the following. There was the same way the Rambam was Mechadish, or explains the Halacha of Parish, even though it's Havayasim in offer, so it's also not Parvarava. But the fact that it grew out of the grounds makes it a stronger type of an item. So in other words, we're almost discussing levels of fius in regards to this sort of killing it. So it's not just that there's a kasav parvarava. It's that which grows out of a zarchan akeva. It grows out, it has a full fledged life through the process of spontaneous, you know, suspend your mind for a second and accept spontaneous generation. You can understand that that's a different level of life than something which grew through the whole process of being developed through an egg, etc. So that's the heter. So I can come along and say, well, the Torah defines this as something which is like a separate entity, and it's also to eat because it's full-fledged sheretz, and this is just like not so significant. It's like it's just part of it's part of the fruit that it's in. Well, it's crawling around and has wings. Yeah, but really, it's just fruit. It's not really a sheretz. Okay, fine. So why should I be able also to kill it? Right, you know, that's what we're going to be, you know,
okay,
discussing that type of thing.
Okay.
Again, that's, you know, that's the chiddush of the Magen Avraham. We're drawing a parallel from one to the other. The Gemara does not. There's no Beferish or Gemara that I can recall which does that. But we said when you're cleaning out your clothes, you're delicing, the person is delicing his garments, he should not kill them. Give them to some parushim, because besides the kinim, there also are parushim there. You're going to kill the kinim. You might come to kill the parushim. You're allowed to take them out. You don't want them to fly back on you. So the best idea over there would be to throw them into a container of water, which usually would kill them. Right? Again, remember, you're allowed to kill a kinim. Just to say you can't kill a kinim because you might come to kill a parish. So you say, well, the idea of throwing into the water, it doesn't get killed immediately. I guess theoretically it could fly out by itself, etc. So that's not a body that you're killing it, so that's even there would be a parish there, you wouldn't really be sorry for killing it, so we'll allow you to do that. Even killing it directly is only this exera because you might do a parish. They didn't ask you in this case, you're throwing into the water. Okay. That's talking about kinim. The parushim we're dealing with is the rice. Also, Gamba said, or at least the hukamah harigamamish, because that's like, you know, that's like killing somebody.
We're saying that you can throw when you have them.
You're pulling the kinim off and you're throwing them into a pail of water. That they should, you know, be stuck there and not fly back onto the person.
Right.
So I'm allowed to do that. Again, basically, what I'm dealing with, I'm pulling out, I'm delicing it. Well, but maybe there is a parish there. We didn't ask you to do this and throw it into the water, okay, lest maybe you end up killing a parish. They're not body that they're there, that's not a psychratia, and definitely, Milo Hashem Sikh Lagufa.
So by throwing them in the water, you're sidestepping the point. I'm confused.
Suppose it's directly killing them. You're going to kill them directly. So listen, don't kill them directly because you might end up killing a parush, which is also the race.
But the water would not become the race. So even if it was a parush,
it's a grama. You know, you can argue a few different things. Why it's not the race? So they said you can do that.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Well, you can call them akina me arish shuli me kadaima. If you have these hides, they used to lay their eggs, and they used to grow on the hides of these animals, which mishum shumanatik minatzemer v'habi psikreishu. Because when you pull it out of the skins, he has these hides over here which they're growing on. He wants to pull them off. So you pull them off, you end up pulling on some of the hair, and that's the issur of memachik. Memachik was smoothing off the hair. Well, either it's either geizes, which is a block of taking out, shearing the animal, or, which in the block of geizes applies, if I recall correctly, I don't know, it says applies when the animal's alive, dead or alive, live or dead. If you have a sheep, which is a person just killed a sheep, and somebody goes and shears the sheep, it'd also be us. Pretty sure about that. And then there's also a malach of memachik, which is smoothing out the leather, scraping off anything which, you know, to make it smooth. And that's the malach of memachik. Theoretically also, you could ask the question, why isn't there a burr? Like picking out the kinim out of the thing, you know, putting out the bad from the good and throwing it away. Why isn't that burr?
Wait, the bad from the good. Oh, right.
You're pulling these kinim off of the skins.
Right.
So that's a question which, you know, B'chol, I try to grapple with. You know, why isn't washing dishes usur? Because you're wiping, you're taking off the bad from the good. Not for, you know, that's usur. It's not for immediate use. Something's done with a kli. So why is it with the answers we look at is two separate entities. The definition of burr, I mentioned to you, that it has to be a tarubis. So I look at the plate and the dirt, it's two separate entities. So as long as I can look at the two separate entities, there's no malach of burr. There is an interesting question, which the Rosh Hashanah says a pshat. In other words, anything which, get back to our perception issue, if people perceive this action as an action of what it is a process of washing, cleaning, as opposed to an action of burr, it has a loch of washing, cleaning, not burr. So if I get something stuck in my beard, some food, you know, drip down into my beard, I want to pull it out of my beard, I mean, that's burr, right? Just walk around the whole shower with this thing stuck in my beard. No, the person said that's water, because that's not called burr, that's called rechitza. It's called it's a washing process, not a burr process. Again, fascinating idea that we're defining what the malach is by the way it's perceived by people around it. That's its function. It's a different function. It's a different malach. Awa mafala, but the person mafala rosha, you're allowed to kill them because parushim don't stick out in the heads usually. Barush and a motzi parushim, and the person's here, parushim are not common. Bashach ligzer bishvilim, you shouldn't say I can't kill the kingdom because maybe I'll kill the parushim. There's no parushim over here. Remember, we gave so far the clothing, the hair. What about the skin? Because the lice can stick in, will attach themselves to the person's skin. So that's also mutter. Gam ken mutter lahar gam. The shom ain gam ken ain amotzi sheichah peshachah perushim. Perushim are not common there. But like goes with that came and follows began. The only case that they said problematic was clothing. Okay, let's see. Yud. Kalkaya v'remesh, v'remes. You have wild animals, you have creeping animals. Shem noishchim u'mamisim v'aday. That they are life threat. They are dangerous. That when they bite, they definitely kill a person. But ne'rogim v'shabbos, if you're in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos, even if they're not going after the person. Now, so mamisim vadai means that they're in this. Well, we'll see the contrast. What mamisim vadai means, Vashar mazikim, but the other types of dangerous animals. You have a snake, you have a scorpion. Places where they don't automatically kill. If they're running after you, what's in the heart? You're allowed to kill them. If they're not running after you, you're not allowed to kill them. That's Yisrael Rabbanu, because it's Melachah Shenesich L'Gulfu. Because Al therefore said, we will allow you, as you're walking, you're allowed to step on them and kill them. You're walking. You're getting from point place A to place B, and you just happen to step on this thing and crush it and kill it.
The scorpion.
The scorpion, right? Even though that was your intent. But since it's done in the fashion of an action of walking, as opposed, you know, and it just happens, as opposed to doing it directly. El Shamar Atz Makilo and a Mechavan, and he's just looking like he's not being Mechavan. Chazal said that case is also. Okay, what's this all about? So the Mishnah Berurah. Mem Dal. Sheheim Noshkum Amisim Pada. Kan Kelev Shaitim Chegav. Talking about a rabid dog. So that's a life-threatening situation, a rabid dog. And we're not supposed to wait, stick around and see if they're running after you. The nature is they're going to run after you and attack you. That's the rabbit. It's a rabid dog will do.
What does Gavna mean again?
V'chihai Gavna, and like this. Now, the actual word, the actual word Gavna is actually a color. But when we talk about a case, we can refer to it as a, because, you know, we use it in English also a little, you know, it's coloring the situation, it's affecting the situation. So Gavna is actually translated usually as a case. Okay, Gavin's similar types of cases. But you can see the color in there. Acharav, Phil Burke and Milafonim, even if they're running away from him, not only are they're not running after him, they're running away from him.
But these are definitely a dangerous
animal. No, so the first case was something like Kelo Shetta, which you don't stick around and see which way he's going. Second group was in the Choshemak Rabim. We say, 1 second, what's the situation? If they're going, if they're coming after you, okay, go, kill them. If they're going, they're not. So you're not allowed to kill them. There is not that same level of danger as a Kelev Shait. If they're running after you, you're allowed to kill them. Now the question is why. So I told you because it's a Malach Genesis you're looking for. You have no need to kill it really. You just want the thing shouldn't be hanging around over here. You'll be very happy if it would go back to where it came from. You have no interest in killing it per se. Just you're killing it because that's the way to protect yourself. So it's a Malach Genesis you're looking for. So that's very nice. The only problem is according to the Rambam, holds a Malach Genesis you're looking for. Why are you allowed to kill it? So the Mishnah Berurah, Mem Vav. The Das of Rambam, the Mechai Malach Genesis you're looking for. According to the Rambam, we're told that these cases, so why is this case about you? So, you have to explain the halacha in the following way. This is a Gemara. Shema misam vadai, el esfek pikuch nefesh. So, we're contrasting a definite pikuch nefesh to a potential pikuch nefesh. Well, a potential pikuch nefesh is also about you. Any possibility of pikuch nefesh, you make it. There's a concern for possibility of danger. For sure, that's why it's one. That's according to the Ram. Miu, however, the Didan, according to us, the Sira law and Malacha Shenesik L'Gufa is Min Rabbanan who the Sira. We all only listen to Rabbanan, Malacha Shenesik L'Gufa. So then, Avsh ain't Safik Bekuch Nefesh Kalal. Shori, even we know there's no potential danger. These scorpions are not big enough the type which can kill a person. You're talking about a very large person, right? The guy's a very large person. The amount of venom which is a scorpion has not enough to do anything to really hurt him, to kill him. But that would be painful. Well, even because of tzara, Chazal are going to be mad. Okay, number one, but Chazal and Ramater, these are the mazik of the Russian put in the world. These, the nature of these things is that they damage people. And the bite is a bite which causes pain. Around here, they're not killers. The case of parish and other cases of small animals, etc. Now, even if they bite, it's not such a tremendous amount of pain. Before you can't kill those. So here you can kill. So that much like a wasp, poison discuss a wasp. A wasp, you know, a wasp bite can be very, you know, can be extremely painful. So our person would say that there are some person would say that or want to say that, you know, that should be mutter. Rabbi Zalman held it was also still not the same level of pain. There was a ma'aseh of Yaakov Zatzal, which I never heard directly from him. I heard it, you know, AMPA, which, you know, halachically is not necessarily so valid. When there was the outbreak of the West Nile virus, maybe one of those things. It was before that. That's more recent. Yaakov was interned in 86 or whatever, so Mashuk is 84, 86. 86, I think. So, like a few years before that, there was an issue in New York with the mosquitoes were giving over this type of virus. So he held, in that situation, you were allowed to kill the mosquito, because then there the mosquito bite was nature is that it would cause a tremendous amount of pain. You know, even. So, this way, I'm not telling you about myself, because I didn't hear it from directly. I heard it over from somebody who said he heard it from somebody, said he heard it from somebody, that he heard it from somebody, heard it from Yaakov. So it was very clear.
So this fear of pain or this fear of illness, let's say if we're in a tropical environment and there's a fear of malaria, where it's sort of like there's a doubt whether it's sort of like a grumma bite. You're not sure if it's gonna lead to illness or not, but
so
it could.
So the potential seems to be that would be enough to be mouthed.
So a person who's allergic to bees.
Right, so so bees get a little more complicated because of
the bite isn't
better. No, because see, some bees at least, you know, produce honey, so they're called club of inanitsu. So then trapping them might be a, so even as well as lagufa, but it, so but they matter because it's our I know there are some places which have a person who has an allergy to bees, he'd be allowed to trap bees and kill them.
So if the manner of killing is not something seemingly, you know, like a violent one, but if you would use a poison, that would still fall into the same category of what would be usher for the situations where it would be usher to kill.
If you point to the poison directly, spray on the bug, then that for sure would be usher. Poison say, look, you can't even put the spray on the surface first on Shabbos. You can put it before Shabbos. You can't go spray it on, put it there on the surface on Shabbos, and then they're going to come later on and, you know, land on the surface and die. You couldn't do that on Shabbos either.
Land on the surface?
Whatever. The door is some wood, and you cut for land clee. So if you're allowed to step on them, you're allowed to put a clee over them also. That's what Shabbos says. Feel the miscaving. It's late. Let's hold it here. So we know what happened over here.